WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Roger Weiss. The guys are out covering games, the Francis and Tom. Might call in at some point and get an update on what's going on today. I know one of the things that we'll talk to them about is the controversy surrounding the Kenmore West and McKinley game, or lack of game, so we'll get into that a little bit later. We're also going to talk with USA Football's Andy Ryland. Andy's a football senior manager of education and training. There's a big event coming up Tuesday that'll be held at Star Point, so we're going to find out what is going on with Andy. We'll also talk about the games from last night. Let me preview some of the games going on today. We also have the G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. So it's going to be an exciting show, action-packed. I'm going to be stuck here in Amherst all day today. Roger, get this. After the show, Nick and I are going to go grab some lunch, and then we're headed to Northtown Center for our game against Williamsville Army. So it's Niagara Falls Junior Football Club versus Williamsville Army at 3. Right across the street from us will be UB, and they'll be playing. So it's going to be an all Amherst day for me.
You mean you're going to make Nicholas wait to 11 o'clock to have lunch? That guy looks like he's famished.
He's getting big, isn't he?
Speaking of big, Anthony, we got an email from Bryce at Canisius,
and Bryce Hopkins.
Sent out the roster for today's games. St. Joe's plays Canisius.
Big day today with Canisius St. Joe's, by the
way. You and I have got to get our picture taken with those Canisius linemen.
They dwarf us.
If you put that on a Facebook page, I'll bet you the people out there will feel so sorry for us, they'll start sending us food vouchers.
Oh, yeah. Let's definitely get our picture taken with them.
Hey, and the other thing, what did you do to deserve what today? Only me? Nobody else in studio? Are you being punished?
No, as I mentioned.
You're just stuck with me.
I mentioned during the intro that Francis and Tom are out covering games.
Okay.
Rod, you need to listen to the program.
No. Okay. I listen. I just don't understand. I thought they, wouldn't leave you stuck with just me. You'd just make arrangements to have somebody else. So I'm flattered, Anthony. Thank you. I love you more than usual.
We have a lot planned for today, Raj. That's why it's just you and I. As I mentioned, we're going to have a couple of interviews. We are also going to get updated on what's going on at Iroquois with their sports complex. Just unbelievable conditions. If you've seen any of the pictures on our Facebook page, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Anything for news and notes before we get into our G&G Fitness?
Yeah, one we got to mention. We got to give a shout out to our former temporary colleague, Rich Sanders. Have you heard the story on Rich Sanders?
I heard, and I've been praying for his child.
I was just devastated. Channel 4, I happened to be watching that station, or Diana happened to have it on there, and I watch what she wants to watch. So all of a sudden, and you see these things every day about happen to people, and gee, that's a shame. Well, then all of a sudden, it happens to somebody either directly or indirectly that you're associated with. And I mean, a chill just went through me. For you folks that don't know, Rich Sanders, who was our colleague 2 football seasons ago, can you believe it's been 2 years?
Yep, former assistant coach at West Seneca West when they won the state title.
They were down in Florida. He relocated down there. He has a business. They had to vacate because of the hurricane. Mm-hmm. They had to go up to Georgia. While they were in Georgia, his son Andre wasn't feeling well. They took him in. It was decided he should have his appendix out. While he was taking his appendix out, they discovered a tumor on his kidney.
Oh, man.
And they eventually removed the kidney. Seems to be doing good. He gave me a high five Thursday night. I saw them folks at the West Seneca West football game against Will East. And I guess the prognosis is good, but Tony, I was devastated.
Oh, sure. So was I when I saw it. Broke my heart.
Wow. So, Rich, Tony and I and the others associated with this show are thinking about you, Alexandra, and especially, Andre the Warrior now, not Andre the Giant, Andre the Warrior. Good luck. Best wishes. Godspeed.
Yeah, God bless. Absolutely. Roger, every week we have the G&G Fitness Coach of the Week, and congratulations to Iroquois field hockey coach Pete Tonsaline for his 400th career win. If you'd like to nominate a coach, feel free to go to livefit.com. That's where you go to nominate your coach. 400 career wins.
That's all?
Pretty impressive. Yeah, that's all. You know, come on. Stop slacking over there, Pete. Absolutely amazing.
That's the best you can do. It's as long as he's trying.
Yeah, he is.
We'll give him a trying. Pass.
We definitely will. As I stated, we're going to touch base right now with Dawn Purcell. For those of you who don't know or didn't listen a couple of weeks ago, Dawn Purcell is a concerned mom, and she's joined a group of others in the Iroquois community to improve or push for improvements to the school's athletic complex. If you look at some of the photos that she has posted on our Facebook page, you can see the bleachers need to be replaced. You see the track just looks absolutely torn apart and in very poor conditions. You see goalposts that are crooked, blocking sled that is rusted out, even part of it is missing. You know, it doesn't. You know, judging from the photos, it doesn't look like a safe environment. So Dawn and some other concerned parents have gotten together, and her as a concerned mom says, look, we want a safer playing field for our children before somebody gets hurt. And it's not just the children, Roger. It's also the spectators. She shared an email that was posted about a person who was concerned about going to the game because of an elderly parent would have trouble climbing the stairs. I saw a video of an elderly gentleman really struggling to climb into the bleachers. So it's a safety issue, not only for the players, but also for the spectators. Dawn Purcell, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. We spoke with you a few weeks ago, and you outlined so nicely what is going on with the conditions there. And as I stated, you're really concerned about the safety that is going on, not only for the players, but for the spectators. And recently, there was a board meeting, and I know you signed up to speak. Get us updated as to what's going on.
Nothing has changed, unfortunately. These things can't, you know, fix themselves. They deteriorate further every day. There was a board meeting this past Wednesday, and the president of the Board of Education told me in front of witnesses only three people can speak on an agenda item. I, unfortunately, was the fourth person to enter the building that day, so I followed rules. I didn't put in a slip. She decided at the last minute to accept additional speakers who signed in the slip, so I wasn't able to speak, which was disappointing, but I'm not going away. The board didn't address anything during the meeting. They do business, then allow for three speakers to fill up forms. It's first come, first serve. And at the end of the meeting, they come back in and give comments. There's no questions or answers, so it's tough to make progress. The superintendent kind of seemed like he was a little bit on board, but then the board members commented that they are not sure, let's see about this, there's dates, maybe we could put it off, put the vote off till the end of December of 2020, building wouldn't start till middle of 21, 22, by the time this is done. Other board members were just silent as usual. When we reached out to the board president the day after the meeting to ask if they would publicly support the project, as other boards have done in the area, and to give us a timeline, she wouldn't answer us. She referred us to the superintendent. My concerns, Tony, and I'm going to be honest with you, American Disabilities Act compliance, we are not. You're supposed to have bathrooms within 500 feet of the bleachers, easily accessible to the handicapped.
Right.
Ours have stairs. You can't, unless wheelchairs fly, there's stairs going into the building. The other bathroom on the home side has mud and not a paved path, so it's very hard to get through.
Yeah, and from the one picture I saw, it was outlined that if it's raining or if there's a puddle there, good luck trying to get a wheelchair in there.
Tony, you can't get through with a wheelchair. It's absolutely horrific, the conditions here at Iroquois. And most of the parents are on board with change. It's just, you're always going to have a little bit of opposition.
Right.
But everybody has to agree. It doesn't matter if you like sports or not, because I, like I've told you before, I don't know the difference between a lineman or a linebacker, but I know safety. We don't have that. We're not ADA compliant, which is against everything that every school stands for. You're supposed to be able to come in into a safe environment. Our bleachers, our equipment, our school hasn't been touched. We have not had a capital improvement on our football field in 13 years. And 13 years ago, all they did was put in donated lights, lights they didn't pay for. That sled you see, that famous sled that my son hit?
Yes.
Donated. That was donated 32 years ago to the school's program.
Oh, my God.
32 years ago, and they're still letting children hit it. When I mentioned that litigation is going to cost more than repair, they told me they have a separate fund for that. Are you kidding me? You would rather have a child die or be injured than do the right thing.
That's sad.
That's sad. Yes, it's... I don't know what else to do. I've gone to Albany. I've spoke to the commissioner of the Board of Education. I've contacted her. I've gone to the Regents Office of Facilities, who's supposed to handle any discrepancies with fields and stuff. But everybody keeps saying they're investigating, they're investigating. Well, someone's going to die during this investigation. You've seen the video of the old man trying to go up the stairs yesterday. We don't have railings, Tony. We don't have railings.
That's not acceptable. That really is. No, here's what I don't understand. This is a pretty easy thing. Safety. Who is against safety, whether it's for the kids, as you said, with the blocking sled, the track, or for the spectators and the bleachers and the outhouse? I just don't understand why everyone's not on board. It's not like you live in a poor district. In fact, it was kind of eye-opening to find out that Alma Murillo Wales is one of the better-off districts in Western New York, for lack of better terms. And it seems like it would be a no-brainer to me.
Right now, we have the second highest wealth ratio in Alma. And the state of New York offered to pay. You know how all the facilities around New York were redone? We are the last ones to be redone. New York State offered us 70% of the bill to be paid by New York State if we redid the field, the bleachers, and it would cover the bathrooms. It would cover everything.
Wow.
The reserves would only pay 30%. So the school would only have to pay 30% if this vote goes through. If the vote does not go through, Tony, the school pays 100%. So it seems like a no-brainer to me. If you like football, if you like soccer, if you like safety, it doesn't matter. Either way, it's got to be fixed per the state of New York. We are non-compliant. It had to be fixed by 2020. So in 3 months, no matter what side of the fence you're on, either we pay 100% or we let New York State pay 70%, but the vote needs to pass.
Right. And even though you're passing it off to New York State, everybody, you know, we all chip in with our state taxes. Yeah. But the thing is you look around Western New York, Dawn, and whether it's Niagara Falls, in Rogers area, in Hamburg, city of Buffalo, everybody, or at least most places, have gone to a new facilities, improved. North Tonawanda, absolutely beautiful. DePue, your former school, beautiful. The facilities are tremendous. You would think that every district would want to jump on that. And it's not just for safety reasons. Raj, you and I talked during softball season and baseball season that if more and more teams go to the turf, that we'll be able to get games, less games will get canceled. The better it is to get out there and start practicing for your spring sports rather than having to wait or practice inside a gym.
Well, especially with the artificial turfs and all this, allegedly they pay for themselves if you amortize it over, 5, 6, 7 years. Don, the question I have for you, besides football, how many of the sports are still played on the football field? Because I know you got other fields in the that facility across, Girdle Road or whatever, across the street. How many other sports other than football are still played on that complex? And is that one of the reasons why they're holding off on improving that, because they have so many other facilities? I don't know. I'm speculating. I'm guessing.
We have problems on each field, sir. Right now, our baseball doesn't have dugouts. We have a metal grate in the middle of the softball field. We have a metal grate on the field hockey field. We don't have fences on the softball field. What this field renovation would cover right now, if we get it passed, by the voters. 70% will be paid by New York State. Football can now play on it. Cheerleading, track and field, male and female soccer, male and female lacrosse, female field hockey, can all play on the same field. This is a universal field. It will not be used just for football, and baseball can practice on it so they can get more days out. Right now, our baseball team throws balls in the gym. Do you know how dangerous that is when you're 17 or 18 when you really have some strength behind your pitch?
Yeah, I know. I've done that. I've had, because we didn't have facilities back in the day when I played. So, yeah, we did have to throw the ball in the gym. You know, and the thing, too, is, and I don't know if the makeup of the district, but if you were to improve it, would the public have access? Let's say somebody wanted to run around the track, get their jogging in, or train around the track. Would residents be able to use or benefit from the complex?
100%, Tony. And we've stressed that, because if you know where we are in Alma Murillo, Wales, there's only sidewalks in very few neighborhoods. We're on busy roads, country roads. So any night, if you come to my track around 6 o'clock, you'll see senior citizens, moms, babies, kids using our facilities. So this would benefit the entire community, also allowing our elderly population to come to the games. Right now, I just read a post, a mom's daughter was able to cheer at halftime because we let our little loop cheer at halftime during homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a girl's dream. She talked about it for years. She couldn't wait to do it, couldn't wait to do it. Her grandfather was unable to come and see her because of our facility. It's just not handicap accessible. He died the month after her performance.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. I literally cried reading this post. Like, my mom's here today. I'm at the football field right now. My mom's here today. I had to hold her getting off the bleachers because there's no railings.
That's not right.
Someone will be hurt. Someone is going to be hurt. And when you tell me that, oh, don't worry, we have insurance, that's not the answer I want to hear, Tone.
Oh, I can't believe that.
It's
absolutely,
it's a mess. I hope things get better, Dawn. And, you know, I've told you before, you're fighting the good fight. And it's something that I believe that the residents in that district would want to get behind you. If anyone listening right now is in your district and they're listening to this interview, they want to get involved. Is there a website they can go to or an email address, something like that, so that they could join you and the other concerned parents?
On Facebook, we have Iroquois Sports Field. We have board meeting next month. We need the entire community present to let them know safety matters. Doesn't matter if your child does violin or whatever. We need safe facilities. It's not about a sport, an individual sport. It's about safety first.
Yeah, and why have to spend money on lawyers to defend yourself when you could have headed off it at the pass by getting the improvements? Dawn, best of luck to you. Keep us updated as to what's going on, and keep fighting the good fight with all the other parents. I mean, you as a mom, you're doing a remarkable job in getting the word out there.
I truly appreciate it. Thanks, Tony. Take care.
All right, Dawn. Have a great day.
Good luck.
And good luck as well. All right, let's take a break, Raj. When we come back, go over some of the scores last night, talk about games that we attended. So we'll have all of that and more. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. Tony Caligiuri along with Roger Weiss. Thanks to Dawn Purcell for calling in the last segment, getting us updated on what's going on at Iroquois. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to talk with Andy Ryland of USA Football. We're going to talk about a big event that is happening Tuesday night at Star Point High School, and we're going to find out exactly what it is, and it has something to do with the pilot program that NASA is one of eight leagues across the country that are involved in this rollout program. So it's pretty exciting stuff coming out of USA Football. Now let's get into the scores from last night and Thursday. In fact, on Thursday, Akron defeated Cleve Hill 47-0. Some non-league games from last night. You had Dunkirk over Lakeshore 32-22. Wilson beating Bishop Tyman 20-6. I'll talk a little bit more about that game in a little bit. Cattaraugus Little Valley beating Perry from Section 5. You had St. Francis beating Welsh Jesuit 35-7. Salamanca over Gowanda/Pine Valley. You had Alden beating Roy Hart 38-0. Bennett over Jamestown in two overtimes. What a game that must have been, 28-26. How about this one, Roger? Clarence edging Lancaster in overtime, 27-26. Saw video of the kids just storming the field. Very excited in that game. You had Frontier in Lockport, 53-50. Did anybody bother playing defense in that game? Williamsville North beating Hamburg 21-20. South Park over Kenmore East 36-9. Star Point beating West Seneca East 41-15. Grand Island over Sweet Home 35-22. It was Will South 56, Amherst 18. Cheektowaga beating East Aurora/Holland 28-7. Pioneer over Louport 28-14. Medina Lindenville Barker over Maryvale 26-6. And how about this one? Western New York Maritime keeping their hot streak alive. They beat Iroquois 34-13. Albion over Depew. Lackawanna beat Springville 13-8. Newfane over Eden, North Collins 43-22. You had Portville over Chautauqua Lake Westfield 35-14. And Allegheny beating Southwestern 49-8. Franklinville, Ellicottville 24. Clymer, Sherman, Panama 8. Then some 8-man scores. Oakfield, Alabama over Maple Grove 60-12. Alden over Roy Hart. And you had Olean over Randolph, Salamanca beating Gowanda, Pine Valley, St. Francis over Welsh Jesuit, the Cattaraugus Little Valley over Perry, as I mentioned. So those are the scores from last night and Thursday. If I missed any, I apologize, but that's all that I was able to get. Got some of these out of today's Buffalo News. Roger, game I went to last night, Wilson against Bishop Tyman. Great game. Really a good game. And it was fun to watch in the fact that watching Wilson's defense, really stingy, well coached, extremely well coached. You see, and they're not big guys. They're.
I was at the Wilson game a week ago against JFK. Not flashy anything, but solid. I was going to just, you know, question how they reacted to time. And obviously they took care of business.
Well, a game like that shows you, you know, about technique. When you use technique properly, you can defeat a big. I tell my kids that all the time. Technique wins over size every time. And you watch the way the Wilson defensive lineman attacked Tyman's offensive lineman. Tyman has some big boys on that O-line. And especially shout out to Delcan Ferry, number 4, 6'4", 220-pound wide receiver defensive end. He's the biggest kid on the team. And he was unblockable. From his DN position, blowing up many of plays in the backfield. So he was absolutely solid. So was Anthony Dispenza from, I think he was D-line or linebacker, one or the other. He's all over the place. And they were taking a beating in this game. Again, you could see guys holding their arms, their shoulders. You know, I was standing close enough on the sidelines, I could hear the grunts, but they were leaving it all on the field. And it was a fantastic game. You know, and Tyman, their backs did a nice job when they found room where they were able to go. The same with the receivers. Quarterback was throwing the ball only where his receivers can get it. But it was a well-played game for the most part. And then in the fourth quarter, Wilson started to pull away. You started seeing them momentum really going their way.
Well, you know, after a while, the only thing you can hope for, if you hold a team for a half, that might give you momentum.
It was 7-6 going into the fourth.
And how many games have we seen that? And what decided in the second half is the team that's supposed to win by 4 touchdowns, do they make adjustments? If they don't make adjustments, and you know, just with the attitude, well, we're better than they are, we'll get them in the second half, you're going to lose that game. And if you make the adjustments, and that's what the difference did. To the credit of the Wilson coaches and coaching staff, they made the adjustments. And
Bill, I told Coach Atlas. He does a fantastic job with that program. He's a great guy. He really is. He was kind enough to come out last year before my playoff game and game that was held at Wilson. Came out, talked a little bit before the game, gave me some words of encouragement. Super nice guy, and I really appreciate the things that he's doing. And he's really has that program, firing on all cylinders. They only have 23 guys on their roster. You know,
hey,
so
look what they did. They almost beat Southwestern in the semifinal last year when it came that they were obviously out-talented.
Yeah, and then you look across the field at what Joey Licata is doing with Bishop Tyman. Had a chance to see an old friend of mine who I used to coach against when he was with South Buffalo, Tommy Joya. It was good to see him. I told him, I said, man, you don't age at all. It was remarkable. So, you know, kudos to both coaching staffs for doing such a great job with their teams. Also had the pleasure of meeting Shaq Dudley, coach of Cardinal O'Hara. Talked a little bit. He has one of our former players on his Hawks team right now. So, and we also talked up a lot about USA football. Shaq is big on USA. It was a great conversation. It was nice to meet him and talk football with him.
So you're really impressed with the Tyman coach, who also happens to be the grandson of a Kensington grad, right?
I had to mention.
It's been a couple of weeks since I mentioned Kensington, Anthony.
It has been. It's always great to see Joey. And, he had his work cut out for him last night. It was a great game. And the game was played at Grand Island because the Wilson Field isn't ready. In fact, it will be ready for next Friday night. So if you're in the Wilson community, make sure you head out. I've seen pictures of it. The field's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. So I guess they're finishing up the track right now, and it will be ready. Where did you go last night?
Last night I was at Hamburg. I went stayed close to home. They had Will North 20-7 with 4 minutes left in the game. And you have 4 minutes left in the game, Anthony. You do not give up an 80-yard touchdown pass.
Well, you shouldn't want to give up at any time in the game.
But nonetheless, you tackle a guy, you don't have to break his legs or anything, but just disrupt him. If you get called for pass interference, it's 15 yards.
Yep.
And to me, yes, of course, that gave Will North momentum. They held on defense, got the ball back, and did the final drive. The difference in the game being Will North had a kicker. Hamburg did not. Hamburg only was successful 1 out of 3 two-point conversions.
That makes it tough.
Will North made 3 for 3 with the left-footed kicker. And like I say, I know it sounds like a homer. I'm supposed to be objective. But, my hometown team, that would have been a big win for him.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And it's a team that's trying to improve, trying to get on.
And I know I talked with Coach Cawley, your assistant Coach Cawley, afterwards, and I know he was devastated. He tried to,
Let me guess, he blamed it on Shinsius, even though Shinsius wasn't there.
No, I wasn't. That's one time I'm not going to bring up that fiasco. But Pat Cawley treats me like royalty.
He's a great guy.
I felt bad, especially for him, for Coach Tripp and all that. But, that's how you learn. But, and the other one, Anthony, 3rd and 1, and Sean Russo says it's the right thing to do depending on your offense. 3rd and 1, and they hike the ball to direct snap, 6-7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It makes a 3rd and 1 and 3rd and 7. If the quarterback sneak, especially the way they line up, it's not like they crowd over center. They can't get 1 yard. That happened on more than one occasion. But again, I'm 1960s. I'm not 2020.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of Sean Brusso and Lancaster's loss in overtime to Clarence, I guess it was on a missed extra point. And you mentioned that a little bit and say how important that is. But, wow, double A is really exciting, as we said it was going to be.
You got top five, and now Clarence is in the picture. I question, because of the loss of Stevens and Putney, can Clarence play with Jamestown, OP, Bennett, and Lancaster? Guess what? They can.
That's and now you've got Jamestown and Clarence next week.
That's a 5-team race, and one of them goes to the Funky Bowl.
It's amazing.
No, I take that back. I take that back, because 8 out of 9 teams make the playoffs anyway. But one of those teams goes on the road for the quarterfinals. Now, here's a scenario that you're not going to believe this, Anthony. With Frontier winning last night, against Hutch Tech. If Hutch Tech plays Niagara Falls today, and I'm trying to think, possibly Lockport. Anyway, if Hutch Tech loses those two games, Hutch Tech and Lockport are both going to finish 0-6 in league play.
So what do they have to do, flip a coin?
Well, depending on the tiebreaker, since they don't play head-to-head,
right.
My point being, the eighth team that qualifies for the playoffs in AA is going to go in with a 0-6 league record.
Yikes.
How can they have 8 out of 9 teams make the playoffs? They should have gone. The way they did it last year was fantastic. Play 8 games, 7 league games instead of 6, and only play a semifinal and final.
Wow.
I don't understand it, Anthony. I do not.
Some of the games going on today, of course, the biggest game is Canisius and St. Joe's going at it kind of early in the season. But Canisius, they're off to an 0-2 start. They need to get a W in the worst way. And so St. Joe's would love nothing more than to spoil that.
It's funny, you mentioned earlier when you were talking about a technique goes over size. And when it comes to linemen and all
St. Joe's going to need that, being how big Canisius is.
They got to be outmanned by 50 pounds a man on the line, depending on which players going to the roster that Bryce sent yesterday. And again, let's go get our picture taken with those guys, Tony. People might send us food vouchers.
Maybe. Some of the other games going on, you mentioned Niagara Falls is playing Hutch Tech. That's going to be at Riverside with a 1 p.m. kickoff. Orchard Park is going to go to Niagara Wheatfield. North Tonawanda at Kenmore West. I think that's going to be a really good game. Silver Creek is playing JFK at 1:30. Fredonia is going to take on Faulkner / Casadega Valley at Casadega. 1:30 kickoff there. McKinley against O'Hara. That should be a fun game. And Penfield is at St. Mary's in Lancaster. That is a 1 o'clock start.
Quickly, Anthony, two games last night that Evil Frank... They're for real. They knocked off, cheese, sausage, and pepperoni last night. I expect those teams to come back again and play at the Ralph, and I expect the winner of that to go on to win the state. If Evil Frank was able to beat, Clymer Sherman Panama the way they did, they are for real. The other game I want to allude to real quick, next week Maryvale plays at Iroquois. Loser of that game will probably go to the Funky Bowl because Maritime Charter School Health Science, they are the real deal.
Oh, absolutely. It was pretty cool. I watched a video last night of the Iroquois team giving a standing ovation to the Maritime team as they were leaving on the bus, and that was pretty classy. I like that. So good job, Iroquois football, showing some class there. All right, Raj, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Andy Ryland of USA Football. We're going to talk about this big event coming up at Starpoint on Tuesday night. Don't forget Sports Talk Saturday. Follows us at 11 and at 7 o'clock tonight, the Maple Leafs and Sabres right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports. As I mentioned, we are going to speak with Andy Ryland. He's going to join us right now. Andy is football senior manager of education and training for USA Football. Andy's a former linebacker at Penn State. We won't hold that against him. And former rugby player, which something Andy and I could probably spend hours talking about it as a former rugby player myself. Andy, good morning.
How are you guys doing? Great to be on.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. For our listeners who haven't been listening for any period of time, I've been coaching at Niagara Falls Junior Football Club for about 4 years, and USA Football is the reason why I got back in, and also the reason why my son got excited and wanted to play football. There's a symposium that was held in our neighborhood. I took Nick there, and I had him. He went, asked him if he wanted to try the drills that were going on. Ken Stolt and others from USA Football were putting on the symposium, and my son fell in love with the game right there. And then said, "Dad, I want to play football." So I was able to sign him up, got involved in coaching, and haven't looked back since. Now, you know, things that USA football and people are not familiar with, because USA is kind of like in the background. People hear you Little League football, they don't think beyond it. Well, we, as along with the high schools, we adhere to the guidelines of USA football, and USA football does such a great job in focusing on safety of the kids, and that's what it's all about. Reasons to keep kids playing football and things like that. Now, there's a big event coming up this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and USA Football is rolling out this big initiative called Football Development Model. And NASA is one of a few leagues nationwide that has been selected to roll this out. So, Andy, get us up to speed. What is USA's Football Development Model?
Yeah, so thanks for the great introduction, and I really love the story about your son. That first entry point, that just fun, high-quality experience with the game of football is really most people's touch point to really fall in love with the game. And I think it's a great parallel to what we're trying to do with the football development model. So the way we explain it is we're saying, you know, how can we reimagine the game of football? So let's take everything we love about the game, but let's also take a keen eye at looking at some of the tradition and then the things we've learned over the past 50 or 100 years about child development, about youth education, about foundational and fundamental motor skills, and how would we teach football knowing all that great stuff without losing the soul of the game that we like so much. So when we reimagine football, trying to make it age-appropriate, trying to make sure the challenges are obviously challenging, I mean, that's how we grow, but are the right challenge at the right time, at the right stage, we thought we might be able to do some really fun things with football. So, you know, if you look at other sports, they kind of provide us a great example where at the same ages in baseball, you know, you may be playing coach pitch. At soccer, you may be playing 7-on-7 on a smaller field. Basketball, you know, you have those 8-foot hoop extenders. But when they come to fall and they go to football season, they're playing on the same size field as an NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
You work in youth football, so I'm pretty sure you can get the visualization that your team doesn't have a lot in common with the Buffalo Bills. Those guys look a little bit different. So
yeah, they're a little bit bigger.
Change a little bit. They probably don't run as fast. Cognitively speaking, just, you know, they can't comprehend the amount of technical direction when learning a new skill.
Right.
Obviously, our playbooks are much slimmer. So we're trying to put it in a way that really reaches the kids where they're at. So we want to create, as we say, pathways and entry points. How can we get people involved in this great game, but then how can we keep them in this great game by providing an enjoyable experience that meets them exactly where they are? So we're going to have different game types. You know, we have small-sided games. We have the flag non-contact versions of the games. We obviously have the traditional version of the game as players grow and mature, but we're trying to take this step-by-step approach to building, as we say, humans first, then athletes, then football players, because that's really what the youngsters are craving and need at this point in time. And so Ray Turpin, that is, for
president of NASA, yeah.
Yeah, been instrumental with his leadership. I mean, like you said, you guys have been involved in coach certification for I believe 4 years now, and they said, hey, let's take the next step. Let's see what we can really do with this. So they are one of a handful of pilots that are running this program. And then the event we're running this week is we're going to run a showcase where we're going to have multiple age groups out on the field at the same time. It's a really neat event where we're going to be having a practice kind of situation here where all the different age groups are going to be following the exact same schedule. But you'll get to see some of our coaches and some of our trainers interacting with the kids and see how when we move through fundamental warm-ups and building the athlete sections of practice, when we work on, say, passing mechanics, receiving, or even flag pulling and into tackling, each of these age groups will be working at a different age-appropriate level and try to show the parents, the media, the fans, those that come out, what it looks like to really take some time and dig into how do I most effectively build a football player on top of a great athlete, on top of a great human, the same way we would look at building a school curriculum so that they're learning scaffolds and builds off of each other. We're providing them growth opportunities and not overwhelming them so that the game remains fun and those guys or gals stay in it and at the end of the season say, man, you know, I had a great time. I love football. I can't wait for next season.
Any kid that gets out there and participates in not only this on Tuesday night, and I'm going to be there as well, is and I mentioned what my son went through with the symposium. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. You see former NFL players like Fred Jackson with his camp and clinic. You can see that the kids are having a blast getting out there. They're out there. They're mingling. They're going through the steps. And Andy, you lead. You actually go ahead and teach a lot of this stuff and the proper techniques and things like that, the drills. And the kids get excited with that. You know, locally, as I mentioned, with Ken Stoltz, Chad Bartosik, Rob Curran, well, these coaches are fantastic in the amount of effort that they put into working with these kids.
They really are. And, you know, for the listeners out there, I can't tell everybody in that community how much we appreciate you. I mean, Western New York has been a hotbed. There's great coaches. There's great leadership. As you said, high schools have been involved with education, youth programs, certifying all their coaches, making sure everyone who's out on the field leading their youngsters, you know, has basic education on proper health and safety techniques or some of the proper fundamental football techniques, especially around our blocking and tackling skills because of the contact aspect of it. So it's been a great area. I love coming up there to work with the coaches out there. So, again, anytime the NASA guys or Ray calls, to be able to get up there with a cutting-edge leading youth organization is awesome. And if I have to run around the field with some kids, teach a little football, I'll tell you what, there's worse ways to make a living. So it's more excited.
Andy, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to meeting you and some of the others from USA. And, again, you know, kudos to Ray Turpin and everything that he is doing with NASA. And kudos to USA Football for leading the way and keeping kids safe, making the game safe and fun for the kids. Thank you very much for spending time with us, Andy. I could talk to you for hours about this, but we do have to go. Sports Talk Saturday follows us. Have a great day, and I'll see you Tuesday night.
Yes, sir. It'll be a blast. Can't wait to meet you. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to speak to the coaches out there and to give my thanks for all the work and all the leadership that's happening out there right now.
My pleasure, Andy. We'll see you on Tuesday. Thank you to Derek Kramer. Thanks, Roger. We'll talk to you next Saturday with more Inside High School Sports.